Readings taken from Exodus chapter 14, reading all the way through. Then the Lord said to Moses, "Tell the Israelites to turn back and encamp near Pi-Hahiroth, between Migdol and the sea. They are to encamp by the sea, directly opposite Baal-Zephon. Pharaoh will think the Israelites are wandering around the land in confusion, hemmed in by the desert. And I will harden Pharaoh's heart, and he will pursue them. But I will gain glory for myself through Pharaoh and all his army, and the Egyptians will know that I am the Lord." So the Israelites did this. When the king of Egypt was told that the people had fled, Pharaoh and his officials changed their minds about them and said, "What have we done? We have let the Israelites go and have lost their services." So he had his chariot made ready and took his army with him. He took 600 of the best chariots, along with all the other chariots of Egypt, with officers over all of them. The Lord hardened the heart of Pharaoh, king of Egypt, so that he pursued the Israelites, who were marching out boldly. The Egyptians, all Pharaoh's horses and chariots, horsemen and troops, pursued the Israelites and overtook them as they camped by the sea near Pi-Hahiroth, opposite Baal-Zephon. As Pharaoh approached, the Israelites looked up, and there were the Egyptians marching after them. They were terrified and cried out to the Lord. They said to Moses, "Was it because there was no graves in Egypt that you brought us to the desert to die? What have you done to us by bringing us out of Egypt? Didn't we say to you in Egypt, 'Leave us alone, let us serve the Egyptians'? It would have been better for us to serve the Egyptians than to die in the desert." Moses answered the people, "Do not be afraid, stand firm, and you will see the deliverance of the Lord will bring you today. The Egyptians, you see, today you will never see again. The Lord will fight for you. You need only to be still." Then the Lord said to Moses, "Why are you crying out to me? Tell the Israelites to move on. Raise your staff and stretch out your hand over the sea to divide the water, so that the Israelites can go through the sea on dry ground. I will harden the hearts of the Egyptians so that they will go in after them. And I will gain glory through Pharaoh and all his army, through his chariots and his horsemen. The Egyptians will know that I am the Lord when I gain glory through Pharaoh, his chariots and his horsemen." Then the angel of God, who had been traveling in front of Israel's army, withdrew and went behind them. The pillar of cloud also moved from in front and stood behind them, coming between the armies of Egypt and Israel. Throughout the night, the cloud brought darkness to the one side and light to the other side, so neither went near the other all night long. Then Moses stretched out his hand over the sea, and all that night the Lord drove the sea back with a strong east wind and turned it into dry land. The waters were divided, and the Israelites went through the sea on dry ground with a wall of water on their right and on their left. The Egyptians pursued them, and all Pharaoh's horses and chariots and horsemen followed them into the sea. During the last watch of the night, the Lord looked down from the pillar of fire and cloud at the Egyptian army and threw it into confusion. He jammed the wheels of their chariots so that they had difficulty driving. And the Egyptians said, "Let's get away from the Israelites. The Lord is fighting for them against Egypt." Then the Lord said to Moses, "Stretch out your hand over the sea, so that the waters may flow back over the Egyptians and their chariots and horsemen." Moses stretched out his hand over the sea, and at daybreak the sea went back to its place. The Egyptians were fleeing toward it, and the Lord swept them into the sea. The water flowed back and covered the chariots and horsemen, the entire army of Pharaoh that had followed the Israelites into the sea. Not one of them survived. But the Israelites went through the sea on dry ground, with a wall of water on their right and on their left. That day the Lord saved Israel from the hands of the Egyptians, and Israel saw the Egyptians lying dead on the shore. And when the Israelites saw the mighty hand of the Lord displayed against the Egyptians, the people feared the Lord and put their trust in him and in Moses, his servant.
Thank you for doing such a long reading. That was great. Lovely to be with you all again today. And I thought I'd just quickly update you on, before we get into the word, with the work on the ships, which have been very busy recently, and some very good conversations that I've had with seafarers, which is what I've been praying for, because I think through the pandemic, it almost felt like the seafarers lost the ability to kind of sit down and have a chat. So I did a lot of practical helps through the pandemic, and which was good, and it helped them. But I was praying for, Lord, I want these opportunities to just sit and talk, you know, and particularly to share the gospel. And that's been happening more and more as time's gone on. It's been absolutely lovely. None of it's forced. We're always looking for those divine appointments where you can just chat with people and obviously listen to what they've got to say. But it's lovely to, you know, how God has brought about conversation and to particularly talk about the good news of the gospel. And also constantly giving out the booklets, you know, gospel booklets and the Bibles. And it's lovely. So I just put them out on the table as I'm in conversation. I leave it up to the seafarers to pick them up. And it's been great to see them readily pick them up and to say, oh, can I have this? Yes, please. You know, and, you know, it's in God's hands, you know, how he touches their hearts. But I've been particularly blessed with that and to help seafarers. We've had some challenges as well. I can't remember the last time I whether I shared it, but you know, we had a seafarer on a ship, it hung himself, so that kind of thing doesn't happen that often, and so that was quite traumatic for me, you know, to go on the ship. I was allowed to go on because I have a good relationship with the police. They were investigating it, which meant that this young man was left hanging for quite a long time while the CID had to make sure it wasn't a crime what had happened. But I was on the ship while he was still hanging in the hold of the ship, and was able to talk with the captain and the rest of the crew, and then over the next sort of couple of weeks or so to keep visiting that ship, because they're a regular ship that comes in frequently. So that was very sad, really, and it reminded me again the importance of sharing the good news of the gospel, because you don't know what's around the corner. You don't know what's going to happen. I've been on ships which have later on have sunk, have collisions, have had fires where seafarers have died, and it's a reminder again that you know, the life of a seafarer is very dangerous, and also you know, can cause a lot of anxiety with seafarers being away from their families. Some of the conversations I had last week were with guys who had very young children. I remember one guy, he was telling me about his four-year-old daughter, and he won't see her again till December, January. And this is the frequent conversations where, yeah, and there's one guy who pulled out his phone, and the next minute he's kind of doing a WhatsApp video, and he's showing me his family and his two beautiful daughters. One was 14, I think the other one was about 10, and lovely guy, hi, you know, all this sort of stuff. It was, yeah, really nice. And he said, I won't see them till next year, And this is kind of a frequent thing. So, you know, it's good to get alongside them and to encourage them. And, you know, I get some lovely messages through on my phone, for, you know, how much they appreciate those conversations. But, you know, keep praying for them. I don't want any of these, well, I don't want anybody to ever feel lonely and isolated and cut off. I want them to know, well, that I'm there for them, but more importantly, that God is always there for them. And, you know, we just need the power of the Holy Spirit to work through what I'm doing on the ships. The Seafarer Centre is having a refit at the moment, so everything's all up in the air. I've been booted out of my office. So it's all been decorated in that, and hopefully it'll all look really nice. I've also been involved in ecumenical stuff with the other chaplains. I went to Weston-super-Mare on my day off, my only day off, to be interviewed in a lay ministry meeting they had in one of the Church of England churches. You know, that was really good, just to share something about the work. So there's lots going on. And you know, I value your support, but today's a very busy day, so I'm not going to get home till tonight because I'm out speaking to other churches after this one. So value your prayers. Let's get into the word. Time's marching on. I was at a men's breakfast yesterday morning, and can't go wrong with a fried breakfast, but that the person who was sharing just mentions a piece of scripture from Psalm 118, and from the New King James Version, it says this: "This is the day that the Lord has made. We will rejoice and be glad in it." And it just got me thinking about the Israelites, you know, on their journey, and it's always up and down. You know, one minute it's praise the Lord, God is good, and the next minute, where is God? Doesn't he care? And it's kind of like that constantly, which mirrors the way that we can be, doesn't it, really? And I just thought about that verse that this person shared. This is the day that the Lord has made. This day, we will rejoice and be glad in it. So it's not really sort of saying, you know, if it's a good day, then yes, rejoice in it. It's saying, you know, this is the day, whatever this day is brought. And I don't know, you know, what side of the bed you got out of this morning. You know, for some of us, it may be a really good day, or it may not be a good day. And that's kind of how life pans out. But it's so important that this is the day that God has provided. Another day. This is his day, and we will rejoice in it. So we're kind of, by faith, you know, fixing our eyes on Jesus. So I thought I could probably sit down now and leave it at that. But, you know, it just really struck me yesterday. You know, Israel's exodus from Egypt wasn't the end of their experience with God. It was the beginning. You know, going through that Red Sea, that exodus that God enabled wasn't kind of the end of it. It was the start of the journey. And I love this saying that I heard many years ago. It took one night to bring Israel out of Egypt, but 40 years to take Egypt out of Israel. And you kind of understand what that means, isn't it? And really, again, that mirrors our relationship with God. You know, in an instant, you know, when we gave our lives to Jesus, when we said yes to him, come into my life, I receive your forgiveness, that was done immediately. But then it takes the rest of our lives for God to kind of work out that salvation, you know, with fear and trembling. You know, it's not an instant thing, how we kind of, you know, build that relationship with God. It's the start of a journey. And I think, you know, like most of us, we have to kind of realize that very quickly in life. It wasn't all going to be a kind of a rose garden. We were going to work through this new relationship with Jesus Christ. And this is certainly how it worked out with the Israelites. The person who is born into the family of God is at the beginning of an exciting new adventure that leads to growth. I don't know if that's how you see it so far. Certainly in my life, it has worked out like that. I had no idea all those years ago when I said yes to Jesus, how things were going to work out in my life. I was just sharing with somebody at the start of the meeting. I found a couple of old school reports on my first year. My sister was having a clear out. Found a couple of school reports. I was an absolute nightmare. There was nothing good in the reports at all. Lazy was one thing that seemed to come out. And not engaging, not interested, disruptive to the class. It wasn't good reading, and there was nothing. I couldn't find anything good in there. But the thing is, here I am today, and all this is made possible because of Jesus Christ. You know, if it was left up to me, well, my mum always reminds me that Dad had said to me when I was young, if you don't change your ways, boy, you're going to end up in prison. So here I am. You know, so God, you know, it's the start of an adventure. And we kind of, where he takes us along that journey, we don't know, but it can be quite exciting at times. God liberates us, then leads us through various experiences of life one day at a time, so that we might get to know him better and claim by faith all that he wants us to have. At the same time, we get to know ourselves. We discover our strengths and weaknesses, and we grow in understanding God's will and trusting in his promises. I put in my notes, at least that's what should be happening. You know, God's engaging in us. I always say to the seafarers, it's not religion, it's relationship. It's all about relationship with Jesus Christ. And, you know, we need to engage with him. He wants to engage with us constantly. And we need to engage with him. But when we do, sky's the limit. You know, you can never confine God. You can never limit him. What he can do in each one of us is absolutely wonderful. And to be honest, that's why I'm stood here today. That's why I go on the ships, because in myself, anybody who knows me knows that I feel incredibly weak. You know, I don't feel I can do anything. It's, you know, one of the big problems in my life. But in Christ, all things are possible. You know, it's him, Christ in you, which is something they used to always say when I went to Bible college back in 83 years ago. It's kind of like a strap line, was Christ in you. Christ in you, you know, that's what empowers us. And don't know about you, but I watched a little bit of football yesterday. I had to switch it off halfway through. That's me, because I can't stand the stress. And then switched it back on later. But you know, the reason why we need Christ in us, I think of using a football illustration, is that I can't play football, right, at all. Now, you could give me a book that says, you know, 10 easy steps and learn how to play football, and I guarantee I'd still be rubbish at it. I am actually left-footed, but I'd be too left feet. Not very good at all. Now, if somebody like, I don't know, I can't think of Jude Bellingham, that's his name, isn't it? The latest player. Cristiano Ronaldo, I remember him, or Beckham, or something like that. If they could climb inside me and play that football through me, then there'd be a good chance of me being playing a good game of football. And Jesus Christ knows that in our own strength, in our own abilities, we just can't do it. You know, I think the Old Testament kind of mirrors that quite well, you know. Just living by law, we're not going to get anywhere. But Christ in us makes all the difference. And, you know, that, so I've been changed by Christ working in me and through me. Now, for the Israelites, they've started that journey. It's at the very beginning. Now the Egyptians are on their way. They're kind of chasing them. I was trying to picture that this morning before I came here. It must have been absolutely terrifying to see this vast army coming towards them. And the Israelites didn't know which way to turn. You know, where do I go from here? They're up against the Red Sea, and the Israelites are coming at them. This can't be right. We must have taken a wrong turning. You know, we're absolutely trapped. It's a very frightening experience. But God is in control, because God has led them on this particular route. And you know, when I think about these things, I'm very quick to criticise. I'd look at that and think, I wish those Jews ever up and learn, you know, because they seem to, you know, trust, now they don't trust. And it carries on even after this, you know, they're very quick to forget. But actually, I don't want to kind of look at them and, you know, blame them, because I think, well, what about me? What am I like? You know, and we tend to go through life. And I was having a conversation with my mum the other day about this, you know, because she's finding it very difficult at the moment with my dad and Parkinson's and stuff, and it has been very difficult for them. But I said, remember those days when, you know, everything was wonderful, you know, and there was great blessing. I remember when I was younger, you know, in church life, churches were packed out. I remember my dad doing great evangelistic events, and there he was when Billy Graham came to Ashton Gate, and you know, it's packed out, you know, and Dad was on the stage with Billy Graham, and it was all very exciting. And I said, you know, but now, you know, where is God? And it's difficult, really. And I said, well, you know, we're very much like the Israelites then, you know, when it's all going well, praise the Lord, but when it's difficult, oh, you know, our heads drop, and then we forget that God is good, and it, you know, we start complaining. Do you know, when you forget God's promises, you can imagine the worst possible scenario, and I've done this, you know. When you forget God's promises, it's like, oh, it's going to be terrible now, it's all going to go wrong. For the Israelites, we're going to die in the desert. You know, that's what they thought. You know, the army's coming at them, and that's their fate. They're going to die in the desert. And it's because they forgot the promises of God. And they forgot that God was leading them. And I don't know if you've experienced this in your own life, you know. When we become Christians, God is planning out our route. He already knows it from start to finish. I find that very comforting, you know, because I remember, I don't know, if I went back to about 2005, everything seemed to be going wrong in my life. It's a very difficult time. And I got made redundant just to kind of add to it. And I ended up lorry driving just because I had a license. And it was an absolute nightmare. You know, everything went wrong. I remember in the morning getting up early. That's a bad start to my day straight away, getting up really early. And I felt like I was the only one who was getting up at that time. And I'm on the way to Avonmouth to where I'd have to pick up the lorry. And I said, Lord, please be a good day, that everything would go well and I'd get to do all the deliveries and, you know, don't smash the lorry up or anything. You know, and I pray that. And then I'd have a disaster of a day, and I'd come home, driving home later on, and I say to the Lord, Lord, what bit of my prayer didn't you understand? I was quite specific that I wanted it to be a good day, you know. And so it's really difficult, really difficult. But, I kept going with the Lord, because I knew I always needed Jesus, you know, with me all the time. And so, with nobody else around, it was really helpful to know that he was with me. But within, I would say, within 6 months anyway, God had shown me where he was leading me. And ultimately, it led me into what I'm doing now, chaplaincy work at the port and a ministry, totally away from where I was before. But in that lorry, I prayed to God, that prayer of Jabez, that you would bless me and that you would enlarge my territory. That was a prayer of Jabez. And I thought, yeah, that's a good prayer because I don't feel blessed. Bless me, Lord, and enlarge my territory. Do something in my life where I can serve you. And I look back on it now and think, God had that route all planned out. At the time, I thought it was a disaster. It was a nightmare. It had all gone wrong, but God had it all in hand. And I'm reminded of that piece of scripture in 2 Corinthians chapter 5, for we walk by faith and not by sight. I think that's what the Israelites were struggling with. Because, Egyptians, and they were afraid. But we're like that as well, aren't we? Because we just look at what's happening around us, and that's kind of governs whether we're going to be praising the Lord or whether, God, where are you? Don't you care? Aren't you, don't you love me? What's going on? And we need to, as Christians, for those of us who are Christians, walk by faith. God is in control. He's the great shepherd. He loves us. He loves us. And he has not only this life, this life of ours in his hands, but also into eternity. And I keep reminding myself of that. And I think, isn't it wonderful that God has that route ahead planned out? He didn't say to the Israelites, well, off you go then, and see how you get on. No, he's with them every step of the way, and he's with his children today every step of the way. And there may be times where we think, the Egyptians are coming, and the Red Sea's behind us, and it all looks a bit of a nightmare. But actually, our life is in God's hands. And I think it's an opportunity again today to remind ourselves of this. If you don't belong to Jesus, then you need to give your life to him, because when you're in the family of God, what better place to be under the shadow of the Almighty, where he's the great shepherd. He loves his children. He cares for his sheep. He provides for them. That's where I want to be. Most of my life I've been a Christian now. I do not regret giving my life to Jesus. I went away last weekend on a motorcycle festival. So, we were with the boys, But I had the opportunity to chat to, some people who weren't Christians. They opened up the conversation. I just, straight in there. And I just said, I don't like everything about church. I've got to get that one across. So it's not everything about church and church people is always easy. But I never disappointed with Jesus Christ. Never disappointed with him. I was able to just share honestly, why I wanted to be a Christian, why I continue to follow Jesus. No regrets. So for the Israelites, God has planned their route, and he's also revealed his power to them. He gives his power. Do you know, fear can often paralyze people, and it causes them to panic and flee. I've experienced that. I'm sure each of us have, when fear comes in, it's very difficult to think straight, and it's, help. Isn't it lovely how Moses tells the people through, instruction by God, do not be afraid. And I love reading that from scriptures. It's written right the way through the Bible. Do not be afraid. Fear not. It's like some kind of soothing balm, because there are times where we can be very fearful. And I just keep going to the Lord, and it's just his words, do not be afraid. And Moses goes on to say, stand firm, and you will see the deliverance of the Lord, the deliverance the Lord will bring today. The Egyptians you will see, you see today, you will never see again. Those problems, those things that cause us to be afraid, and you may be even able to think about them today, those things in your mind that cause you fear, there will come a day when God's going to remove it. And one of those things is death. You know, I'm getting older and I'm experiencing a bit more of that, and I don't like it. You know, I don't like losing people. And, you know, sadly, with Jonathan, you know, we don't like it. It's not, I don't think it might sound odd. It's not a natural thing for God's people. We weren't created to die originally. But there's going to come a day when God will remove all death, and all sorrow and tears and all those horrible things that we experience in life. God will remove it and we'll never see it again. I love God's promises. You know, look that up in the end of Revelation. And he goes on to say, the Lord will fight for you. You need only be still. I think that's a stillness of the heart. It might actually be physically still for a moment, but I think it's to do with being still in your heart. You know, that might be a word for, you know, all of us today, really. Be still. Don't be afraid. Trust in God. You need to belong to him to kind of benefit from that, but that might be something to encourage each one of us today. It certainly encourages me. And as I was thinking about God doing great things, and he was just about to do that for the Israelites, I thought of the old hymn. It just came to mind, you know, when I thought about the deliverance that God gave to the Israelites. There is power, power, wonder-working power in the blood of the Lamb. I don't know if you remember that hymn. I haven't heard it for years, and it just came to me. There is power, you know, because that's one of the things that I've been praying for. You know, God is not taking away his power from God's people. He's still a powerful God, and he still does great things. And we shouldn't lose sight of the fact that Jesus Christ in us has the power to do amazing things through God's people. And I'm banking on it, and I keep reminding the Lord of it as well. You know, God, I need that power, kingdom power. We need to see change, not only in our lives, but in the lives of people around us. And for the Israelites, they had that cloud by day and the pillar of fire by night, which reminded me really that God, that constant guidance and that constant help night and day. I particularly find it a blessing at night, because I don't know, maybe for anything like me, if I'm going to worry about anything, is at night, because you haven't got any distractions. You wake up at night and I know, you think, oh, in the end I have to get up. Because they just can't, you know. But what I try and do is when I'm up, I pray. Because I know God's not going to sleep. You know, he's actually with me. He's fully awake. He's engaged. And it's like that pillar of fire guiding me in those dark moments. You know, God never sleeps or slumbers. And that constant help is there for his children night and day. Do you know, when God parted the waters of the Red Sea, it was the single greatest act of salvation in the Old Testament, and which we kind of, we're still blessed by it today, because God did the impossible. You know, he led his people out of Egypt through the Red Sea, which is kind of like an impossible thing, but God is a God of miracles. He can do anything he wants, and he led them through, and he defeated the enemy. And it's exactly what God does in our lives today. Because we have the greater spiritual reality of God's redemption for his people. Because, you know, he's broken that kind of slavery to sin through the work of Jesus Christ. You know, what he's doing for us. He's done the impossible. He's broken the power of sin and also the power of death. You know, because now we can be raised again to be with him. And I just, he's absolutely wonderful. God is, you know, is doing amazing things in his people. And when I look around society, or even across this world, I still see Satan pursuing God's people at every turn. Still see it happening. Hear stories all the time. But Christ, through his grace and mercy, you know, we have passed through the waters. And Satan is defeated. He is actually defeated already. You know, he's just kind of still carrying on this nasty work. But we, like the Israelites, have been rescued. We've gone through the water. God's done the impossible through Jesus Christ. We've gone through the water. We are saved. So we come out the other side. We're at the start of this journey. What are we doing? Are we moaning and complaining? Are we kind of, you know, because when we see the Israelites do it, you think, good grief, you know. We haven't actually got to the bit where they start moaning again, you know. Where's the water and stuff like that, you know. But we do the same, don't we? And it's not diminishing our problems. They're very real. These difficulties are very real, and Christ knows it. He knows that the things that we go for are very real. But what he wants us to do is to walk by faith and not by sight. You know, God is doing great things and he will continue to do great things. We're actually on the victory side. Satan's defeated and the Lord will guide us through now and into eternity. God is great, and because he's great, he does great things. He does great things and he wants to do it in each of our lives today. And I'm going to finish with that verse again that I started with. This is the day that the Lord has made. We will rejoice and be glad in it. And I don't say this lightly, because I know, like, even tomorrow you're going to be remembering Jonathan. But, you know, we will rejoice because there is that resurrection day, and the future is wonderful for those who belong to Jesus. If you don't belong to Jesus, speak to me or somebody here you know loves the Lord, because in an instant you can be in the family of God, and there's no better place to be and in the presence of God. Somebody who is able to, as it were, part the Red Sea and get you through to the other side. Let me close in prayer. Jesus, Lord, thank you that you remained faithful and still remain faithful with the Israelite people. We look at them sometimes and think, oh, good grief, why don't they learn? Why don't they just trust in God? But Lord, we're very much like this ourselves, up and down. Lord, help us to realize that you will not abandon your children, that you provide a route through our lives that you have planned out. And even when it's difficult, you are with us and you will lead us through those difficult times, and that we will come out the other side safely with you. Thank you for salvation, Lord, for that wonderful hope that's found only in you. Many people in this world, Lord, are facing a hopeless end. But for those who belong to you, Lord God, they have an endless hope. Thank you, Jesus, that you have made it possible. Encourage us, each one of us today, Lord. If there is anybody here, Lord, that has struggled or is struggling with what's going on in their lives, will you reveal to them how much you love them, how much you want to be with them and help them, lead them through on their life's journey. Lord, may they understand that you're a God that provides that constant help and assurance, Lord. Bless this church, I pray, and particularly bless tomorrow for this service that will be held here. May many find hope and assurance in you, Jesus. Remind us of that resurrection found only in you. In your name I ask this. Amen. Amen.